Now, back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Right next to Santa's Little Helper, G.I. George chiming in on Twitter, Matt Wilhelm, saying it's an instant classic.
If you didn't know The Miz, you would have never watched this movie.
But I do know him, and thank God I do, because now I've seen it, and my life and my children's lives are better for having seen Santa's Little Helper starring The Miz. So check it out. It's a holiday. You'll like it. Do you like the holidays? Yeah.
I love the holidays.
So this is going to be...
I love the classics.
This is going to be a classic.
When did it come out?
This year. Just came out.
He's got too much time on his hands.
He's a movie star.
He's a wrestling star.
216. He's main evented WrestleMania. Now he's been the leading man in multiple holiday films.
Funded by his own pocketbook?
No. In addition to being the lead in Marine 3, Marine 4... The guy's got a series.
He's second fiddle to Cena.
Don't say that.
The fact that there was a Marine 3 and a Marine 4.
Don't say that. Stop it right now. Come on. The Miz is texting me right now saying that he's glad that I'm spreading the word.
The good cheer.
The good cheer of the holiday season. 216-578-0850. Mike's on his cell. Mike, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing all right. So I was watching that game on Sunday. You know, it was tough to watch. But I have never in my life seen an NFL defense that is not lined up correctly and don't know how to react to certain formations on the offense. I've never seen an NFL team been so clueless ever in my life. I mean, that play where Carson Palmer went into the end zone, Tayshaun Gibson didn't even know the play had started until Andy Dalton was already past him.
Until he had scored.
We had three guys covering four guys. Right.
There were a lot of things going on that play.
It's crazy. They're so unprepared. I mean, every defense, the first thing you have to be is lined up correctly. And the second thing you need is it has to be simple enough for the guys you have so they can play fast.
And stop being so difficult on them. They're still evaluating things.
I think you're exactly right, and I'll tell you what. You see it, and it becomes, you know, you look at where this defense was last year. You look at the fact that it is the most expensive defense in the NFL this year. You look at the fact that it is, at least until somebody tells me that this is not true, they have allowed an NFL a record 10 straight games with 24 or more points allowed. This defense is not cutting the mustard, and you got to think it starts at the top on the defensive side with the defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill, because these guys, as you said, they look ill-prepared. They look overmatched. The scheme does not appear to be working. It doesn't seem like they're dialing up the right calls at the right times. They can't get to the quarterback. They can't stop the run, and they can't stop the pass. So I don't know what it is that they do.
And what about everything that you just said makes me, as a player in the National Football League, want to come play in that system? Because if I'm a draft pick, you know what I mean? It's the expectations to turn this thing around, you know, when essentially you're fighting.
And it becomes a matter of trust, right? Do I trust that this person is going to utilize me in the right way? You look at Paul Kruger.
Nope.
And you and I went through this yesterday. So this is interesting to me. Paul Kruger was used in a completely different fashion a year ago than he is this year.
Right.
A year ago, he had over 11 sacks.
And what's funny is, and I mentioned this in the pregame show, and you can continue with your point.
Sure.
But Mario Williams is in a Rex Ryan defense complaining also
about
dropping too much and complaining about the scheme. But go ahead.
And I know that Jabal Sheard left, which was their design. They didn't think he fit their defense.
Right.
You draft Nate Orchard. Nate Orchard, who had 18.5 sacks in college, isn't getting the quarterback at all. Kruger is actually getting near the quarterback. His overall pass rush productivity, when you look at hurries, hits, and sacks, is better than it was a year ago. But he's not getting the sacks. He's lining up in different spots. He's not rushing as often as he did a year ago when he was almost exclusively a rusher. And he's playing, as we charted it out yesterday, he's on pace to play
200 less snaps.
200 less snaps. So that's over 10 a game.
And in some cases, when we're back in Berea,
it's about 12 snaps.
You know, you jump out and pull out the analytics. Is he graded the best player on our defense? I mean, I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
By Pro Football Focus.
I'm saying by Pro Football Focus that the best player on our defense is played less than 50% of the snaps this past weekend. Why is he not playing more?
I don't know. And you know, when you're a guy like Paul Kruger at that stage in the career, that's got to be, at least I would imagine, that's got to be somewhat frustrating to him. And when you look at it in terms of overall grades on the defensive side of the ball, you've got Dez Bryant right now is number one, but Paul Kruger does have a positive grade on the season. He's the third graded overall guy. And your top graded players on defense, none of them are playing many snaps. The only positive guy in terms of a defensive grade for this is Pro Football Focus again. First of all, there are only eight guys with positive grades. Two of them really haven't played much, Ibrahim Campbell, Deontay Saunders. You've got Tremont is the only one who's played most of the snaps. Then you've got Dez Bryant, Jamie Meter, Kruger, John Hughes, Kawan, Craig Robertson.
So Kruger, by Pro Football Focus's standards, is the third most productive player on our defense.
Yeah, and he's got 30 quarterback hurries on the season. Nobody else on our team has more than 11.
And yet he's a guy you want to walk off the field in certain downs and distances.
It just seems so interesting to me. Why? So I think that you're hitting it a much larger issue here because, and we've heard it start to come out in these comments, it's about trust. And I don't think they trust the scheme or the coaching right now that's to put them in the right position.
I agree.
And you're hearing that in the comments. These aren't our opinions. These are the comments that you're hearing. And I think that's what's troubling. And I think, but going back to originally tying this all together, what Mike Pettine said about tension, you're getting that tension because there isn't the success.
Right.
When you're giving up 24 points in 10 straight games, 30 or more in 5 straight games, losing by an average of 16.7 points per game in your last 7, there's going to be tension.
And the other, when you talk about the tension, the one thing that still befuddles me about this whole Browns regime, especially defensively, it's with as much money as we have invested on the defense, as good as they played towards the end of the year last year, or the middle portion of the year last year, and our expectations is for them to grow, to get in that graduate level stuff, why haven't we seen them put it together once? We haven't seen a defense fire on all cylinders, not one game. Maybe Tennessee, 7 sacks? But, I mean, you're playing a rookie quarterback in a second career football game. Why have we not seen them fire on all cylinders at one point? And then what's even more frustrating is why haven't we seen this team put it together for one football game and win a game that you're not supposed to win?
And hopefully they can find a way to get it done on this one. So it's interesting. Last year with Kruger, he rushed from the right side about 40% of the time, left side 60% of the time. This year, it's 60 and 24, which I don't understand where the other percentages have gone. He's dropping, basically, he rushed more often last year than this year, which is not a surprise, but not a significant amount, 91% versus 87%. So that's not huge.
No, it's not huge.
That's huge, 4 out of every 100
plays.
What
he could be doing is in some of those situations where he's in that stand-up and he's rushing in the middle, trying to get a one-on-one on the back, catch him on a center, on a guy who's, not as athletic as a tackle would be used to, blocking a pass rusher.
Yeah. When he was on the left side, it seemed that he came pretty much the entire time last year. This year, that's not the case. He's dropping more often when rushing from the left side. So it's just, again, these are the things that happen when you are where the Browns are at 2-10 and you're struggling.
I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Kruger cumulatively has dropped more this year than he has in an entire career.
All right, let's go. I would agree with that. Danny in Southern California, welcome to the show.
You guys, Nate, Matt, I really appreciate you guys. I mean, you guys are the best thing for the city of Cleveland because it's just I'm not even in Cleveland, and I'm really depressed out here in SoCal with what's going on. I mean, it just seems to me, that there's no plan in place. Even when we had Tom Heckert, it seemed like he had a plan. First he addressed the secondary, with Joe Hayden, TJ Ward, Buster Screen. And then he kind of attacked, the defensive line with Phil Taylor, Jabal Sheard, Wynn and all those guys. And then, some offensive help with Jordan Cameron, Josh Gordon, those guys. The last 2 years with Ray, I don't understand what's going on. What are we doing? And also kind of like holding on to our talent, like DeQuell Jackson. He would have like 100 tackles for us. He would clog up the middle. TJ Ward, he was a hard-hitting guy, stopped the run, stopped the pass.
So let's go. Hold on 1 second. Let me just jump in and then keep going where you're going on this. But let's start with DeQuell Jackson. You traded out a guy, DeQuell Jackson, for Carlos Dansby. I think Carlos Dansby's been very good since he's been here. And they traded him out because where DeQuell was struggling was pass coverage, and Dansby's been very good
Correct.
In pass coverage. So I think that one was a wash. You go now to TJ Ward. And by the way, those guys, similar in age, similar at the end of their careers, both of them.
Yes.
TJ Ward, Dante Whitner, Now, that's a different one because that's a homegrown guy who's significantly younger. Now, at the time, the knock was he wasn't as good in coverage, but he's obviously done a good job of that with Denver. He's a physical guy, good run stopper. Dante's been banged up this year, and I think his play is not at the level that he would have expected. Now, that's a different one because T.J. Ward, had you had him here, A, he was cheaper. B, he's a guy that you would think could still be here when you actually do start to turn around. So that's one where I think it's a very valid thing. Jabal Sheer didn't fit this scheme. Now, the shame of it will be is if we go to a different scheme next year and go back to a 4-3, Jabal Sheard would have been great here, and instead he's thriving for the New England Patriots. But some of them, you got to look at all of them kind of in isolation. With Buster Screen, I think, would you rather have Buster Screen than Tremont Williams, given the way this season's played out, at less money? Yes, of course you would. Cheaper, younger.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So,
I agree
yes, there
too.
Have been
I
some.
I don't think
you signed 30-year-old free agents.
I'm just saying that there was like a method. You know, it seemed like we had a method. That we were going, I mean, we're at the bottom. So, and they were at the bottom too when Heckert and Holmgren and, you know, all those guys came in. You know, we were at the bottom, and we kind of had to build up. But it seems like right now we're just there's no plan. There's no, I don't see a future.
No, listen, I think you make a good point. And what I mean by that is in the first year when you did it with Whitner and Dansby, that was to change the culture. And I think those guys did help the locker room, and you saw that impact. But then to go back one more year and to sign guys in their 30s, Bo, Hartline,
Starks.
Tremont, Starks,
McCown,
who is great. No offense to Josh McCown.
But he's in his 30s.
But those are the moves that you make when you think this is the last year of our Super Bowl window. Let's get these veterans in here and let's make one run. That's like when the Lakers brought in Gary Payton and Karl Malone well past their primes.
Right.
That's not what you do when you're where the Browns are.
No.
Because where are you going to be? Think about this, folks. You want to get really excited. Think about this. Not that the deep, maybe it's a good thing because the defense has been historically bad, but when you look at your starters on defense across the front, Desmond Bryant in the last year of his contract, he's played well, but the chances of him coming back for $8 million, probably pretty slim. Okay, Randy Starks, probably not going to be here. John Hughes got re-signed. Shelton will be here. Cooper will be here. Meter will be here. Okay, go to the next level. Dansby, probably not. Paul Kruger, probably not. Barkevius Mingo, unclear.
Unclear.
Craig Robertson, restricted free agent at the end of the year.
Maybe back a year.
Maybe back. And he's done a great job. I think Craig should come back. So then you got Kirksey and Craig. That's it.
Okay.
Then you go back to your secondary. Tremont, Witt.
Expensive.
Tremont's expensive. Maybe he's got one more year. Witt, probably not. Tremont, maybe one more year.
Gip,
you don't know what's
going to
end up happening.
Gip lost a lot of money this year.
Yes, he has not played at the level that you would expect. So you look at the turnover that's going to happen, and you're still rebuilding. That's why I say play the Ibrahim Campbells of the world. Play Jordan Poyer. Play all these guys that you need to get reads on. Because what you're doing right now, A, isn't working. And what to the caller's point, when you bring in guys in their mid-30s or early 30s in the NFL, that's like bringing in, you know, a guy from the senior tour to come back down and play on the PGA Tour. They may be great for the senior tour, but it's not going to work, and it's not any type of building of a foundation.
Right, and I think when you look at guys and their productivity in their 30s, they're probably flourishing in a system that they're very comfortable in, and they've probably got some young players around them so that they don't have to be the man. And when we sign them here in Cleveland and spend the money via free agency, we expect them to come in here and get immediate return on investment and be the man in our defense.
Right, and that has not happened. Again, folks, 10 straight games with 24 or more points on defense. 30 or more in 5 straight games. Average margin of loss, 16.7 points over the last 7 games. Why? And I'm going to put it on the defense. There have been some games where the offense hasn't delivered, but I'm going to put it on the defense. You can't give up 30 points 5 games in a row. You can't give up 24 10 games in a row. Not when you have the most expensive defense in the NFL, when you preach and pound tables and say that you're going to stop the run and that you're going to play, be the most physical, dominating defense in the NFL. When right now people can run on you whenever they want.
Is anyone scared of this defense?
No. You can't get to the quarterback. You can't stop the run. So you're always put in manageable situations, and then you're having a tough time covering. And I know Joe Hayden is out. Joe Hayden wasn't playing that well before.
No, he was not.
He was getting targeted early in the season. It's been an absolute struggle, and I don't know what's going to turn it around for this defense. 216-578-0850. We got a few phone calls. We'll take those to wrap up the first hour, and then we'll have Marlon Moore joining us at the top of the show. Come on out and see us. Discount Drug Mart in Center Road in Brunswick Hills. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, CBS.